Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who better to talk to than the author of Wilpon's Folly, Howard Megdell? Howard, interesting afternoon here. Great turnaround. Great to speak to you. And the fact that, 5 hours after this historic news, I'm talking to the guy that, for a long time was the only voice out there in the marketplace, letting everybody know what the problems were with the New York Mets and their finances. So welcome to the program again. And crazy times right now, huh?
So I'm glad to be back. Your definitive statement is one thing that has me a little gun shy, because I remember you and I having this conversation 8 years ago when it was all said and done, and a new Mets owner in a Mets hat was in the owner's box, and David Einhorn, much further along even than this. And that didn't come to pass for reasons I talked about in the book. And there's a long trail of people who thought they had a deal with Fred Wilpon that didn't turn out to have a deal with Fred Wilpon. So all I'm saying is there's obviously substantial news and a lot to unpack here, but let's just say nothing's signed, and even when something's signed, sometimes things can go awry.
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Thursday, February the 6th, 2020. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media. And you can get the show on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to contact me, you can get me over at my email, mikesilva@talkingmetspodcast.com. Well, very rarely would we ever have to use the emergency broadcast system to start a podcast, but not only did we have to use that once this offseason, we've had to now use that twice. And the opening sound you heard from our friend Howard Megdell, who has written a book called Wilpon's Folly and has been at numerous publications, that was just a month ago. And he's not a prophet, although he may have sounded like one in that clip. But he forewarned us of what could happen when it comes to dealing with the Mets and Fred Wilpon and ownership changes and transactions. And sure enough, here we are. It wasn't a month. It was almost 2 months ago. And here we are. And exactly what Howard predicted would happen or could happen has happened. And for the second time in a decade, the Mets have been sold and then unsold. And now they're in a state of confusion about what the future holds for the team, both financially as well as in terms of ownership, which is a shame because really this was supposed to be another, and I keep saying this, this crazy offseason, we were supposed to do another Throwback Thursday, and I guess I just got to rip up the script and forget about the Throwback Thursdays. We just can't do them. We can't do them. So we're here, and again, I didn't want to wait till Sunday, so I kind of jumped in, put this podcast out, through the script up in the air, and away we go. Now, joining me in just a little bit, a new guest to the show. He's been breaking news left and right about the Steve Cohen ownership situation and Steve Cohen basically walking away, depending on whose side that you listen to, walking away from the deal. Joe Pantorno of AM New York. Now, Joe really was the first. Barstool Sports obviously had the podcast. I had tweeted out some information that I had gotten. Of course, I'm the little fish here in this very, very big pond, but I have some insight into it. But Joe has been all over this. I think he's not really has gotten the credit for being all over this. And Joe, who is the sports editor at AM New York, has been at Bleacher Report, has done a bunch of stuff, Long Island guy. He'll be joining me in just a little bit, and we'll hear from him. So where does that leave us right now with this whole situation? It's a crazy offseason. It's a crazy week. I've said that a billion times. I don't think you could have written a better offseason, a better script. Really, even going back to when Brody Van Wagenen was hired a little over a year and a half ago, if I had put together a Netflix movie or some kind of HBO or Showtime movie, or had this as I tweeted at Brian Koppelman, the guy of Billions fame, I don't even know if you could have put this as a Billions show and have Bobby Axelrod as Steve Cohen, and you would believe that this could be real. But this is real life. What makes me laugh is that over the last 3 days, a league that has a background of collusion hired a fixer, Ray Donovan, basically, to go after A-Rod about 7 or 8 years ago, deflated the sale of the Mets to Fred Wilpon back in, almost 2 decades ago in 2002, is mad at Steve Cohen and does not feel that Steve Cohen, during the process of negotiating the sale with the Wilpons, exhibited the kind of integrity that they want as an owner in Major League Baseball. Now, with that said, I got to warn everybody, and I always thought this, these are complicated transactions. I mean, any transaction, anything that involves a contract, even at the lowest level of business, is complicated. And it doesn't make for a lot of friends. When you negotiate a contract, when there's any kind of give and take at any level, the first thing after it's done, whether you win, lose, draw, you know, come to a deal or whatnot, you don't want to go out and have a drink all the time and be next to each other because there's tension. You always feel that maybe there was something you had to give up or the other person pushed a little bit too hard. I mean, that's business. And it's not over until the deal is signed and all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted. And that could not be more true from what happened here. Now, from what I understand, and we'll see what Joe has to say because he's the expert. Now, I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to be like these other sports guys. I'm not going to be like the finance guys who pretend they know sports because they don't. And I'm not going to be like the sports guys who pretend they know finance because they don't. I'm not even going to get into that. From what I understand, the real issue here, putting all the nonsense and the garbage and the unnamed sources and the former employees that like to take pot shots at the Mets, is the transfer of ownership when you combine the valuation of the franchise and what kind of say the former owners, in this case Jeff Wilpon, really, because he wanted to stay on as a chief operating officer and really have a lot of say in how the franchise was run. I don't think those two met. What I think what that means is I think if the Wilpons were going to stay on or potentially have a longer stay or longer ownership of the network, there was a myriad of things at play. Cohen wanted a haircut on the deal. That's my opinion on the thing, based on what I know, what I've read, putting things together. And we'll see what Joe has to say. I think he wanted the valuation to be less because he was giving up some things. If you're coming in and you're paying for a home, and I sell the home to you, and after I take your money and everything is signed, sealed, and delivered, I'm sitting in your house rearranging the furniture, telling everybody how I want it painted, hiring contractors, but you're paying the bills, right? You're paying all the bills. You're going to get pissed off and say, what are you doing here? Now, maybe for a while you want my advice because I've lived there and I know the nuances of it. But after initial like, hey, help me out here, you want me out of here. You don't want me around. You want to be done. You want to walk away from each other. You go your way, I'll go mine. And it sounds like the Mets wanted Steve Cohen's money and they need, that's the key, they need Steve Cohen's money. But they didn't want to give up the privilege of owning a sports team here and the New York Mets in the city. Will we ever know what happened? There's an NDA, and technically neither side can talk. But being that now this is officially dead, and I thought coming into today what I would do, and this is why I waited another 24 hours to do this podcast. I wanted to do this a couple of days ago because I knew news would change. I thought there was a lot of negotiating ploy here, and basically sides could come back together. Maybe the Wilpons are muscling here and say, you know what, Steve, you want to play this hard ploy negotiating? Well, I'm going to play it too, and I'm going to, you know, leak through my contacts in the media how I'm putting this team up for auction, which I don't understand quite I don't understand how quite all this works. So technically neither side can talk, but if Cohen ever wants to call BS on baseball and cares enough to live with the penalties that come from going outside of the NDA, we're going to find out what happened. And I think it's going to be fascinating. And I don't think it's going to make baseball look really good. Rest assured, and I tweeted this out earlier at Mike Silva Media. Baseball as an entity has always had mafia tactics. It's always acted like a mafia. They have antitrust exemption. They always do whatever the hell they want. That was the case when Selig was in play. Rob Manfred was basically his consigliere. By the way, that whole situation where I joked about how they hired a fixer to go after A-Rod all those years ago to get documents and whatnot, Rob Manfred was involved in that. Guess who the commissioner is right now? Rob Manfred. I wonder a little bit, too, throughout this process, as they watched Cohen in action. If you had such an issue with him back in you would have an issue with him back in December. And when Manfred was asked, granted, again, there's NDAs involved here, he didn't seem to be all that concerned in December. He didn't even say, well, you know, we'll see where this transaction goes. He basically said, yeah, it's a normal transfer of ownership situation. Those are his words. But I think as time went on, as the negotiations really got down to the 11th hour, I think they started to see the kind of person they were dealing with. This is not a guy that basically flipped off the SEC, paid a $2 billion fine. This is not a guy that built a fortune of $14 billion, reportedly, and did things always the nice way. You don't become nice working on Wall Street. You just don't. You don't. It's a shark pit. You don't have to be in there. I've never worked there. I'm sure there's some of you in the audience that know about that environment far more than I ever will. It's a shark pit. And you don't have that experience and not go into other situations and bring a lot of that to it. And I think they looked at it maybe and said, do we really want this guy coming into our club, our good old boys network? They really have never wanted independent-minded owners. They didn't want Mark Cuban. That's fact. Cuban has come out and said that. Cuban, I believe, was interested in the Rangers. Cuban would have loved to own the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pittsburgh Pirates would be exponentially better today if Mark Cuban owned them. Look at what he did with the Dallas Mavericks. Another league, mind you, a salary cap league, was in no man's land. They were awful. Everything you think about the Knicks today and how bad they are, that was the Dallas Mavericks and then some in a bad market. I mean, they were basically the Houston Astros. And they've been a hell of a lot more sustainable than Houston has been to date with what they've done over there out in Dallas under Mark Cuban. So, you know, do they want Cohen and his billions Bobby Axelrod mindset coming into the club and upsetting things? They have the Sox under control. They have the Red Sox now selling people off with Chaim Bloom and acting like the Tampa Bay Rays. Yeah, the Yankees signed Gerrit Cole, but guess what? They haven't done anything else this offseason. And the Yankees for the last 5 years or so, they're no shoo-in to pursue big free agents and upset the apple cart. This isn't George Steinbrenner's Yankees. It'll never be that way again. The Cubs don't want to spend. Yeah, you've got the Nationals diving into the deep end of the pool and the Phillies and John Middleton over there with his tobacco money, you know, likes to make some statements. But they're still playing by the rules. They're under control. This guy told the SEC to take a hike and broke the rules. And why would you not think that he'd do that with Major League Baseball? So, you know, that's where it is. Here's why you really, a couple of reasons you got to be careful as Mets fans now to kind of get weighed down in the dumps. Number one, at the end, economics will win. The Mets have been staving off this day for a long, long time. Like I said, the man that we heard the quote from, the clip from an earlier podcast this offseason, Howard Megdell, wrote a book about this. These guys do not have the money. Quite simply, they're not rich enough to own a professional sports franchise in the year 2020. Sports is not built for family-owned businesses anymore. Yes, the Yankees, technically with the Steinbrenners, are a family-owned business, but they built that family business into basically a corporate conglomerate. That's what they did. You need to have private equity money. You need to have hedge fund money. You need to have big money. They don't have that. Yes, it's because of Madoff, but I also think it's because they really need the baseball team to turn a profit at a high level. And I think sports, it's very difficult to do that. And it's even harder to do that when you have a lot of debt And that debt is sucking up a lot of the available income and cash flow that you have. So what's the next thing? You got to go out of your own personal kitty. And if you don't have it, you know, you're not going to be able to sustain this. Right now, the Mets, especially because you already heard they want to put the team up for auction, they're going to sell. Where this goes, you don't know. And that's the thing. You don't know what kind of owner you're going to get. You may say what you want about the Wilpons, but they care. Maybe they care too much, and their care is misguided. And at this point, they really, from a brand equity, from a Q rating factor, obviously from the financials, they really need to move away, because I don't think they're ever going to get. Even if they found $3 billion under a seat cushion and wiped away all their debt and were able to play with all the big boys tomorrow, I don't think the fans would ever embrace them or trust them. And that's the shame, because I really think, and I said this yesterday on Twitter, that once the games start, once spring training starts, once you get more columns like the columns that you've seen from Kevin Kernan of the New York Post, how he's gone on and talked about Brody Van Wagenen and what he's done with the franchise and new manager Luis Rojas and Edwin Diaz. I mean, you really are getting excited, because this is a roster that could do things. I mean, you think when the Mets open up and it's the seventh inning and they got a two-run lead and the bullpen comes in and Dylan Betances comes in or Jerry's Familia comes in or the game is tied and Pete Alonso's up with the bases loaded, you think the fans are going to be thinking about Steve Cohen and the Mets ownership situation when they're at the ballpark? Of course not. Of course not. And that's the thing here. So it's still about baseball. And you don't know who you're going to get. You don't know what kind of owner Steve Cohen was going to be. Sure, he had the money, and that's all we wanted. We wanted his money. But Jim Dolan has a ton of money. And again, I know it's a different sport. And look what he has wreaked on the Knicks. I mean, they're about to take the page out of the Mets book. Everybody laughs at the Mets. They're about to hire CAA agents, big-time agents in the NBA, to run that franchise. His issues are different. You know, if Jim Dolan took over the Knicks tomorrow, you would go crazy. But he has money, and that's what you wanted out of Steve Cohen. Here was a guy that reportedly was going to put a gala for himself on opening day about taking over the ball club. He might have made this about him and been as bad of an owner as anybody out there. You don't know. So before we start crying about an owner that never was, remember, you don't know who he was going to be, and you don't know who the next owner is going to be. What you want is their money. And believe me, I understand. I'm not defending the Wilpons. They use a lot of hardcore real estate New York business tactics. And I personally don't like if everything that we've heard and read about them is how they negotiate deals. And clearly, they have a couple of instances where we know there's proof that deals go bad with them. So what's the common denominator? I don't like that. That's not how I like doing business. That's not how I believe business should be done. But I'm not naive enough to believe that that doesn't go on every day and go on in a big way in business, in New York, in politics, and in sports. But I do know they care about this team and they want to win. And I hope whoever takes over the team, whether it be Steve Cohen rekindling, which seems unlikely, or somebody at an auction or whatever, cares as much as they do and has the money. And I also think that person coming in better realize they started to build some good things here. And you hear reports all the time, well, Brody Van Wagenen's on a clock and the new ownership group's going to get rid of him no matter what. Well, that would be foolish, because you spent the last year and a half, almost 2 years, building a front office, building a new philosophy in the minor leagues, trying to get better at the draft, building a culture, bringing in a new manager, and to just upheaval all that because it's a new owner and I want my people and I want to make a splash or I want to make the media happy. That would concern me. And I hope whoever that is doesn't do that. So remember, be careful what you wish for. You might get it. And just because somebody comes with $13 billion or $3 billion or whatever doesn't mean they come with any better management techniques or personality or less intrusiveness than the prior regime. So let's sit back, let this play out. There's still baseball to be played. The Mets still have a good team. And last I looked, the only way that baseball is going to get involved and take the team away is if the Mets exceed their debt threshold, which they may have already done. And like I said, baseball's a mafia. They do whatever the hell they want. Or they miss payroll, and they haven't missed payroll yet. And let's hope they don't, because that would be disastrous for the sport, for New York, And let's make it about baseball. And I think that's what we just got to concentrate on right now. Because after today, I mean, maybe there'll be more news. I'm hoping that I could do shows about baseball because I'm really tired of talking about things like sign stealing and baseball's inability to police itself and ownership changes. It's fun. It makes for good drama. It makes for great radio. But it's really not what I want to do day in and day out with this podcast. And it's not why we ultimately watch this sport and enjoy the Mets and ultimately why you want to tune into this. So anyway, let's take a break. We have our new guest, Joe Pantorno, AM New York, broke big news about Steve Cohen and the Mets and negotiations breaking down. We'll hear from him. What does he think about my thoughts about how this went down, why this broke up, and what's going to happen next? We'll see next. We'll take a quick break with more right after this. The Talking Mets podcast is available on many outlets, but the most popular is Apple Podcast. Hi, I'm Mike Silva, the host of the Talking Mets podcast, and I encourage you to leave a review about the program on Apple. Just rate it 1 to 5 stars, hopefully a 5 because why wouldn't you? And then if you have time, leave a review. It helps the podcast continue to grow and encourages others to take a listen. You can also email me at MikeSilva@TalkingMetsPodcast.com. No G, TalkingMetsPodcast.com. Hope to hear from you soon. And enjoy the rest of the show.
We're back, and joining me from AM New York, Joe Pantorno. And if you guys have been following him on Twitter, you know that he's been one of the guys out there breaking a lot of the news with the strange situation between Steve Cohen and the Mets and the now non-sale of the Mets. And Joe, welcome to the program. Of course, you can get Joe over at Joe Pantorno on Twitter. Hey, listen, it's been a crazy couple of days, Joe. Congratulations on being in the mix and breaking some news. And I mean, is your head spinning? Have you finally come down? I know that there's some news that just came down, a statement from Steve Cohen. So it kind of puts a little bow on the last few days for you.
Yeah, Mike, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it. And of course, I appreciate your support and all the reader support out there. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind of a few days, certainly something I've never experienced in my early journalism career. But this was one of the more interesting stories that I've been able to help break. And given the franchise that it's been happening to, which has had the track record of kind of putting their fans through the ringer, you know, just seeing how passionate the fan base has been about this, it certainly made this all more rewarding too.
Joe Pantorno of AM New York joining me, and we're talking about the news. Steve Cohen, as we were coming in from break, just made a statement, basically a very, and I'm not sure if you saw the statement, Joe, it literally just came down, but I know that both sides had an NDA. But basically, Cohen said, hey, sorry it didn't work out. I appreciate the support from the fans. It said he's an 8% stakeholder in the Mets, which is a little bit lower than I think people thought. And he's looking forward to a higher acquisition price, basically. He wants to make more money when the team is sold. So there's no daggers, no trading barbs. I guess I'm a little bit surprised because, as you and others have reported, this has been a bit contentious. So any reaction to that? I don't know if you saw that that recent statement.
Yeah, I did. I saw it, and he ended it with something that I think is going to kind of wrench at the hearts of a lot of Mets fans. He just said, I gave it my best shot. And you can tell that, you know, that has a lot to do with him being the kid from Long Island and growing up and idolizing the Mets. So you could see that, yeah, he's trying to take the high road here. There was a lot of, you know, a lot of tension on both sides of this. You could see it over the past few days and some of the things that we've heard. The Wilpons were certainly making this difficult. At least that's what I heard throughout all this. There have been some conflicting reports over the past few days that he tried to change some financial parameters too. So it's still pretty murky, but you can tell that he's really, I don't think he's going anywhere. At least from what I heard and from my sources saying that, you know, he's not going anywhere with the franchise and he's still going to be that minority stakeholder. And even though it's non-voting right now, he'll be there. And, you know, if fans want to try and read between the lines and think that, hey, maybe this means that he's going to come back and
try and reacquire the team at some point. Well, you know, more power to them, but I'm not ready to speculate that yet.
Here's putting all the things together, and I had heard a few things myself, not to the level of you. Obviously, Barstool Sports getting out there and doing their thing, New York Post, you at AM New York. And from what I understand, and it's the transfer of ownership and the valuation. So here's how I look at it. Cohen said, you know, if I'm not going to be totally in power here and I have to give these payments over a period of, let's say, 5 years, and it certainly looked like SNY wasn't involved right away, and it may not have been involved for quite a long time, and we all know about regional networks and the value there. He probably said, put the debt into the equation that we may or may not know about. He said, well, this is what I think it's valued at. I'm not necessarily calling all the shots because they want to stay in charge here. And baseball probably said, if I allow this to go through at this valuation, it's not in the best interest from a business perspective of the game. It may be good for the Mets. And that's how I see this breaking apart. Now, we could take all the other rumors about Jeff Wilpon and things, you know, being changed. And now the whole thing, baseball's coming out, you know, through their sources, through unnamed sources, basically saying this guy is not, you know, the guy we want and he's never going to own a team. I just think quite simply it's a valuation, and what he was getting in return for the kind of owner he was going to be over the period of transition. He probably said, I need a discount. And the Mets and baseball said, no way. That's my opinion anyway.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much spot on, at least from this initial point of view. You just look at the facts here. This guy's a hedge fund manager. He's worth $13.7 billion. He knows how to make money, and he knows a good investment when he sees one. So obviously, you know, it looks like that it got to a point where he made the realization that, hey, you know what, I'm not getting the kind of bang for my buck that I wanted. And, you know, again, with these reports that the Wilpons wanted control throughout that five-year period, you're just looking at it this way. Why would I pay for the car and let somebody drive it? And I think that's what really kind of did this all in. And I think SNY and the TV station, at least from what I heard, that was a secondary sticking point. But again, it all kind of snowballed and it all kind of avalanched, and it got to this point within the last few days where it spun out of control.
Joe, from what you saw and heard from this transaction, now there's talk of an auction now. I don't know if that's just baseball throwing stuff out there. If this is what they want, and basically it sounds like the Katzes want out, I think Fred Wilpon at this point in his life just realizes, I want to have money. I don't want to have my life changed because I have to be broke from a baseball team. Jeff Wilpon clearly wants in. And anybody who buys the team, they're buying Jeff as chief operating officer for five or more years. I think that's going to be a tough sell to any wealthy person unless they really want to own a baseball team, have that ego, don't necessarily care as much about the involvement like Steve Cohen did, who reportedly wanted to have a gala for himself. And look, if I wanted to buy a team, I'd want Say. That's going to be a hard owner to find. Now, Mets fans just want their money and their cash flow, but that's a tough marriage. Having it's buying a house and keeping the old family in there and living with them, that never happens.
Right. It's going to be something along the lines of finding an owner that doesn't necessarily care about the day-to-day operations of the team, coming in and almost being more of like a figurehead. He's there. He's the owner. He is this, you know, mysteriously veiled face that just provides the cash flow. And Jeff Wilpon will be able to do as he pleases. Of course, we all know this. The problem is that the track record of Jeff Wilpon and his father and Saul Katz is less than sterling. So, yeah, like you said, it's going to be an extremely difficult sell. And again, this is going to drive the price of the team down, in my opinion. And I know that the Mets are looking for something more, and obviously the Wilpons are going to be looking for more money because we all are kind of speculating that there is a cash flow problem. So really it's just going to take that one right person, that kind of pick from heaven, that's going to come down and be the savior. Because yeah, you know, I've kind of heard the same thing, that there will be an auction of some kind and it'll be a little bit more traditional. But at the same time, you know, they throw that out there. There's no other potential buyers, at least that we know of right now. Of course, it's way too early in that process to even speculate. I spoke to my source. I even asked him about it today because we heard Mark Malusis and Maggie Gray yesterday kind of throw that option out there, saying that, hey, maybe there would be another buyer or another two buyers out there or whatever it might be. And I asked my source and he laughed. He laughed at it and he said, there's absolutely no way there's anybody else on the scene right now that's even thinking about coming in. And I get it, given the drama and everything of this organization and how things tend to go south more than north, I guess you could say. It's understandable. So, yeah, like you said, extremely tough sell.
And it's not like you can just go out. This is not a $250,000 or $500,000 home. You get a real estate agent and they, you know, they take their commission, they do an open house and it's, you know, all these people coming through. Like, there's a finite group of buyers out here. And if you want your price, there's only so many people that could afford this. That's why, look, I'm with you. I think Cohen's out and I think baseball smearing him tells you something, and I'll get to that in a minute because I don't think they want him. I think that's part of it. It's just going to be very difficult. It makes you wonder if there's a little glimmer for the Mets fan that really – and we don't know what kind of owner he was going to be. We know he has cash. We don't know if he'd be a better owner. That's the part where everyone's assuming. There's only so many people out there that could do this, and economics is going to win. They need – and I'm wondering, you know, because you obviously have sources here. They're going to be sold, maybe not tomorrow or in the next year, but soon, because they could say all they want that they want to have this team forever – and they want Jeff Wilpon to run the team. Economics is economics, and it will win. And there's only so many people out there that could buy this thing. So it really, if they're in a bad spot, they could act like they're not, but they're in a really bad spot right now, the Wilpons.
Yeah, and really what might be their saving grace is Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred, where it gets to the point where if the Mets continue to drop the ball and to flounder in terms of upper management and making those kinds of decisions and, you know, kind of riding the ship and steadying everything, it might get to a point where the Wilpons are going to either potentially keep running out of money or whatever that problem might be. And Rob Manfred might just step in and say, okay, you know what, you have to sell the team. And it's just going to go to the highest bidder. And that might not be the best thing. You know, that actually might prove to be disastrous. We don't know. It's, you know, it's also, I don't want to say it's uncommon. It's just, you know, we really don't see much of this in professional sports. And the uncertainty, obviously, right now is going to make a lot of people uneasy. And it is going to take a while. Like you said, team's not going to be sold tomorrow. Not going to be sold in a week. Not going to be sold in a month. Might not be sold in 2 years. But if the Wilpons can keep the team afloat as best as they can, which is a big ask at this point, somebody might just come along. So
well,
you know,
as we're talking, a statement from the Sterling Partners, basically saying that the transaction, I'm paraphrasing here, was complicated, that they intend to pursue another buyer, and Allen and Company will manage the process. So Joe, look, they're going to sell the team, and I'm not surprised. I mean, again, doesn't change your last statement. It could be 2 years from now. It could be a month from now. They're going to sell the team, and they're going to want top value. So it will be interesting how this continues. And the real wild card here now, they're continuing to want to sell the team. And they had a guy, and they talked about the complexity of the transaction. And I wonder, here's a guy that tried to – you know, push maybe a little bit harder than baseball likes during the transaction. Here's a guy that is more Mark Cuban than he is Fred Wilpon. Fred Wilpon's very old school, very good old boys network, very stately. They may have thought baseball, this guy coming in a league that has clamped down on the Yankees spending. And, you know, Gerrit Cole aside, Yankees haven't spent any money this offseason. Yankees don't spend money like they used to. They'll go get the big free agent. But it's not at any cost. It has to be the right person. They clamped down on the Red Sox. They clamped down on the Cubs. Basically, the luxury tax is a salary cap for the most part, and they want to keep things that way. They've already kind of sent some veiled threats to the league about you know, how they're going to go in on the Players Association. Do they really want a $13 billion Bobby Axelrod billions clone buying the Mets and coming in this offseason saying, I'm just going to spend money and show all you guys, because he's shown he'll do it in his personal life? I wonder if that played into it. Now, again, we're speculating, but I think knowing the history of baseball, these aren't crazy things we're speculating about, especially with some of the information that has come out. Why would baseball, through sources, trash the guy? Really, think about it. I mean, so I think that's a piece of the pie that we that's not being reported and maybe under thought about throughout this whole thing.
Right. Yeah. You know, he could be Major League Baseball could be looking at this guy like he's, you know, he's the bad boy. You know, he comes in with his almost like his new school tactics, and he would come in and, you know, we heard it even in the 2 months that, you know, since we heard these negotiations were happening. We heard that, hey, Steve Cohen's going to come in. This guy's a $14 billion man, and he's going to come in and he's going to spend money like the Yankees used to. And he's going to come in and he's going to build a championship. He's going to buy a championship. And you know, we'll see how annoying it is for everybody else. Oh, well, you bought your championship. And you know, I get that. And baseball, I think, is really driven on parity. Obviously, it's driven on tradition as well. And again, this isn't the first time Steve Cohen tried to buy the Dodgers. He tried to make a play for the Dodgers. And obviously, he got much, much further with the Mets. But the fact that Rob Manfred is, you know, kind of going to bat for the Wiltons, and you know, you see SNY obviously is going to side, I guess, more with the organization and with the Wiltons and the people who own them. You know, you can tell that, hey, from a fan base's point of view, yes, you know, this would have been great for them, but I guess for the organization of baseball, for the institution that it is, you know, they looked at him as a threat.
Joe, what's your encore, man? So this all goes down. You know, obviously you have sources. Maybe you'll get the next sell, you know, out there first. What are you going to do? You're going to figure out, you know, what's going on with Leon Rose and the Knicks, some Islanders stuff. I mean, you're over at AM News. You know, so Joe's the sports editor. You guys know AM New York, Joe Pantorno, at Joe Pantorno on Twitter. So what? How do you follow this up? So you kind of got your little coming out party, but now the pressure's on. You got to find out who the next owner is. This doesn't end tonight. This doesn't end with this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. I'm starting to feel it already. So, yeah, you know, I just got to kind of keep my head down and keep grinding away. But, yeah, it's certainly been a busy few days with the Knicks firing Steve Mills, with the potential hiring of Leon Rose, the NBA trade deadline. Joe Judge is completing his coaching staff with the Giants. I got to wear a lot of hats, but my first love is always going to be baseball. So we're obviously going to keep close tabs on this situation. And, you know, hopefully this blind squirrel can find the nut again.
Well, listen, you're invited back on to actually talk baseball. This is the thing. This is supposed to be the dead month. All it's been is about sign stealing, managerial changes, ownership changes. I don't think we've actually talked baseball since the Dylan Betances signing on Christmas Eve. So I'm looking forward to, I think the Mets have a good roster. And the shame of it is, Joe, that I hope the fans, I know they're disappointed, and I've heard some say, I can't get into the season. I don't think there's any reason with the roster right now, because the roster, unless they can't meet payroll and they have to sell off all their players like, you know, Major League, the roster's the roster, and they got a good roster. And I don't know why this would ruin the excitement of spring training. I mean, they got their issues, they got their holes, like every other team, but there's a lot to be excited about here. Do you agree with that? Because I feel that way. I really do.
Absolutely. I mean, just look at the facts here. This is a team that won 86 games last year with a manager that, frankly, really didn't deserve to be in the position, with a bullpen that was managed as poorly as possible. And Brody Van Wagenen, with his limited resources, he did his best to upgrade the bullpen. The foundation is there. You have a ton of young, promising bats, whether it's Alonso or McNeil or Davis. And, hey, Yoenis Cespedes is putting out a video that he's healthy, and well, if you stick him in the middle of the lineup, all of a sudden you have Alonso and Cespedes and Conforto, who just hit 30 home runs. The Mets have the best pitcher in baseball and Jacob DeGrom. If Noah Syndergaard can find his stuff, suddenly the Mets have the best 1-2 punch in the majors. And if Marcus Stroman can pitch like he did in the first half of the season with the Blue Jays, it's the best 1-2-3. So obviously there's still a ton of promise. And I think once pitchers and catchers officially report and we start seeing those images of, you know, Noah Syndergaard running around shirtless and Jacob DeGrom is doing, soft tosses in Florida and Pete Alonso's taking batting practice, you know, obviously this whole Cohen thing isn't going to go away, but it's going to soften the blow, I think. And, you know, baseball's right around the corner here, people. So, you know, time to get excited about that, and the ownership will work itself out.
Joe, one Long Islander to another. Glad we had a chance to get together here. We'll go to you again. I love to talk baseball with you during the season. And again, all seriousness, great work. I know you don't get all the credit for breaking news. It's a thankless job. But truthfully, I even think Michael Kay might have given you a pop the other day. Be proud of what you accomplished, and more to come. Be well, and let's do this again. All righty?
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on, and once again for all the support. And definitely can't wait to talk some more baseball with you.
All right. Take care, Joe. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Joe Pantorno of AM New York. He's a sports editor for AM New York, and good stuff. And look, I agree with him. On to baseball. Let's talk about baseball. And I know the sale will hang over the head of Mets fans, and it'll still be a story. But it's time to talk baseball, because that's what we're here for. You're listening to the Talking Mets podcast. We'll be back with more right after this.
Did you know you could go back and download old editions of the Talking Mets podcast? On a recent edition, Dan Hayes, Minnesota Twins beat reporter for The Athletic, told us how Jeremy Hefner helped the Twins bullpen last season and what he could bring as the new Mets pitching coach.
You look at that group, and they learned a lot from him. And, there was a constant work with Trevor May over the course of the year to eliminate pitches and just simplify things. And I think that really helped him. You look at him and Tyler Duffy, and Tyler Duffy changed things around last year. You know, Tyler Duffy was a two-seam fastball guy his entire career. Throw it down the zone, throw down the zone. And basically last year they said, hey, we want you to throw up. And he went from 92 to 95. And there was a lot of work with Hefner on just solidifying the mechanics and making sure the release point was good. And there was a lot of instruction that went on. And I think that's something that he's really good at and getting through to guys. And I don't think it's going to be a problem. You know, it might be a little tricky, a first-year manager and a first-year pitching coach. That's going to be an interesting dynamic. But, you know, just talking to him constantly about in-game decisions that are made, and he's got the right head for the position. It's just going to be growing together with Beltran in that first year.
Listen to this and more at www.talkingmetspodcast.com. All right, we're back. Final thoughts. It's not often that you can see breaking news during a podcast as Steve Cohen makes a statement and then the Wilpons make a statement. So you heard from Joe Pantorno of AM New York, and appreciate him coming on. And now it's about what's next. So the Mets will still be selling the franchise. The Wilpons will still be selling the franchise. Look, if their pitch is going to be give me your money and let me run it, boy, if Fred Wilpon and Jeff Wilpon could pull that off, they are good salesmen. Good salesmen. And they should be teaching a class of how to be that kind of salesperson, because I don't see that happening. And I think the real key, we just don't know what kind of owner Steve Cohen was going to be. We liked his money. We liked having something different. And certainly somebody who would have put the Mets with his ostentatious, reportedly ostentatious way of doing things to the forefront. I think it's going to be really interesting how this goes. Can somebody get approved by Major League Baseball? And will it be better? I know the cash will be better, because anybody who buys this team will have a better cash situation than the Wilpons. But like I warn people, these guys actually like baseball. They care. They are certainly not always competent at things they do. They certainly don't have the best management skills. We know that. But it could be worse. And I know that you're going to laugh me here in that. You don't know what you get until it comes here. And I caution everybody from just being happy about a owner. You want to make sure this is the right owner. And I brought up Jim Dolan and what have you. But right now, clearly, the Mets will be sold. I mean, they've said that. They've had that statement. And I do not think, especially after this second failed transaction, that this ownership group will ever be embraced by the fan base. Even when they won the pennant a few years ago, I know the fans were kind of annoyed when the Wilpons came on TV to celebrate. And there's a point in your life where you just got to say, this isn't happening, move on, cash in. And let's face it, with the kind of money they're going to cash in on when they sell this, regardless of what the valuation is, there's a lot of things they can do and enjoy their money for a lot less stress and a lot less public scrutiny. But of course, they've put their heart and soul in it. And this is a toy that only 30 people in the world get to play with. And when you lose it, it hurts because it's hard to get it back. So we'll leave on that note. So, hey, listen, we're going to be back. The plan is to have another podcast and talk baseball, a pitchers and catchers podcast, as pitchers and catchers will be reporting in just a few days. I'm working on some guests to kick off. We'll get into the Mets, what to look for this spring, what are some of the big stories we're going to be looking for. I know that, hey, listen, if you want to read some baseball, go over to Kevin Kernan at the New York Post. He's had some real good pieces over the last few days. So he's one of the best out there, and he continues to kill it, going down to Port St. Lucie early, getting in front of Brody Van Wagenen, Luis Rojas, Edwin Diaz. I believe there's something coming out about Noah Syndergaard. So that's what this is all about, baseball, and I'm looking forward to hopefully getting back to that. I apologize. We never really did the Throwback Thursday correctly. And look, I didn't plan on there being sign stealing and ownership issues and all this other stuff. All I do is try to react to the news. So that's why we did this. So anyway, we're out of time. I want to thank all of you. Of course, you could check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media. Send me an email, MikeSilva@TalkingMetsPodcast.com. Of course, you can get the show on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. And I also want to thank Joe Panturno of AM New York. You can check him out on Twitter, at Joe Panturno. And also you can get AM New York as well. Good stuff over there. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday night. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back with another Talking Mets podcast later this weekend. So sit tight. We'll see you soon. Be well. Take care, everybody.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.